perhaps go to war with Iran in the coming months. And so all of these questions, well, all we can do is explore them, because they're going to have a profound impact on every one of you listening to the program, especially if there is a war in the Middle East. And of course, there's a temporary cutoff in the supplies of oil, and not only there from the Persian Gulf area, but from South America to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, that has a very close alliance with Iran. So with that as a background, John, thank you so very much for being with us here this time of night.
Stan, especially in these tense times that we're kind of moving closer and closer to a very serious crisis with Iran.
Well, we have a very good listening audience here. We've got a dozen stations listening. So you pick the story up and tell us what your impression is.
Well, there's a couple of kind of what I would call misreads about what's going on. About, you know, several weeks ago, the United States was going to have a brief conversation with our Iranian counterparts in Egypt, and that kind of faltered. And in the, over the last 2 days, the Iranians and Americans have agreed to sit down, possibly in about 3 weeks, and limit their conversations in Baghdad just to talking about the situation in Iraq. Some people have hoped that it could be the beginning of a some kind of dialogue or rapprochement to settling the nuclear crisis. But I don't really think that's going to happen. There's been some recent events in the last, actually, few days that have come out. One, that the United States is increasing its supply of weapons to a number of divergent groups within Iran. There's also quite a few rumors that American special forces are operating not only near Iran, in certain places like Azerbaijan and Afghanistan, but probably inside Iran. And there seems to be a intense lobbying going on by both sides. The Iranians are trying to convince countries like Dubai and the United Arab Republics that they have only good intentions. The United States is doing the opposite. We're trying to convince our allies out there that we will take military action if the Iranians continue to develop their nuclear programs. And then probably a third aspect is that we are, the United States is starting to get more pressure from Azerbaijan, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, and Kuwait to stop Iran from being a regional power. And what's interesting, Vice President Cheney gave a speech actually on the aircraft carrier Stennis, and he did not mention Israel at all. He just said, we cannot let Iran develop nuclear weapons, threaten the region, or continue to threaten our oil supplies. So I think the United States is engaging in more than rhetoric. And if you look at the timetable, the timetable is probably going to go like this. Probably up to about June 21st or 28th, we will be talking to the Iranians just about Iraq. I don't think those talks are really going to develop into much. And then I think you're going to see intense lobbying on both sides and basically preparation for war. And my sources tell me somewhere between July 25th of this year and somewhere around August the 9th, we will probably take some kind of limited military action to destroy the nuclear facilities of Iran.
Well, that's really a rather frightening thing because, of course, once you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end.
Well, the Iranians have a plan. They're not intimidated by us. And I don't think they engage in just useless rhetoric. They have a plan. We've learned from very senior Iranian defectors, as well as intelligence sources that we have. You know, we have listening stations all around Iran. We get tremendous amounts of intelligence from Azerbaijan. We also have listening stations in places like Turkmenistan, certainly Afghanistan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iraq itself. We also get a lot of human intelligence from the Israelis. And this is basically what this intelligence funnel is creating from both technical intercepts, signal intercepts, and human intercepts, that the Iranians will engage in terrorism against the United States here on our soil. They will attack probably the major oil fields of Saudi Arabia, which is just a few miles across the Gulf. They will attack Kuwait, which is, you know, literally a stone's throw from Iran. We get a lot of our oil, you know, out of Al-Kuwait, out of Saudi Arabia, out of Bahrain, and they will try to damage the oil flow, bottle up the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, leading into the Arabian Sea to hurt us economically, and they will do what they can to encourage extensive military actions, possibly by the Revolutionary Guards against our troops in Iraq, and possibly to give more support. They're preparing to give more support to the Taliban in Afghanistan. So the Iranians may not want a wider war per se, but they want to strike back against the United States. And the president of Iran has made some very, very scary statements, almost kind of intimating, if you read between the lines, my friends that do intelligence analysts, the analysts say that kind of indicating, hey, listen, we may already have nuclear weapons. So it's we're in a crisis very similar, probably comparison to the guns of August in World War One, where both sides kind of went back and forth. They were talking, they were sallying back and forth, but they were both really preparing for all-out war.
Well, you know, this is really a rather frightening scenario and frightening things to contemplate, and I don't think that the average American has any idea how close we are to the potential for a catastrophic event, because certainly, you know, if the price of oil were to go to $6 or $8 or $10 a gallon, this would have, you know, tremendous economic implications as far as our country is concerned, and we're already a rather fragile situation. In fact, don't the Iranians really feel that they would be able to win by hurting us economically?
I think so. I don't think what the Iranians realize is that an all-out extended war, I'm not talking just a ground, I'm not talking a ground invasion, but even what we would do is basically airstrikes from naval ships as well as our bombers from the United States and our bases around Iran, the other shoe would drop. I think what the Iranians are hoping for, that a war or an attack by the United States would unite the Muslim world, it would unite the dissidents that are in Iran, it would give an opportunity to repress and take out what is left of the moderate elements of Iran. And it's the beginning of what the Iranians, I think it's a delusion on their part, what the Iranians believe is that there would be their regional dominance in the area. Surprisingly, the most aggressive people that are pushing for the United States to take action are not just the Israelis and certainly not the Europeans who've lost a lot of their will, but the neighboring countries. Azerbaijan, which depends on its oil from the Caspian Sea going to the United States and Europe. Turkey, which borders Iran, is worried about a dominating Iran. Many of the Gulf states, not all of them, but certainly Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, and Kuwait are very worried about Iran and the growth of influence in Iran. And I think the United States, of course, you know, is concerned about Iranian threats against Israel. And I think the United States is worried that if we give the Iranians too much time, they'll be supplying Hezbollah through Syria with even more missiles to attack Israel. They will be giving more anti-aircraft batteries by the Russians, more sophisticated weapons that the Russians have supplied them. And the United States, I think, feels more empowered that we've made a deal with North Korea. We don't have to worry about the Far East or rushing troops there. things there seem to be going okay, and we don't have to worry about a war breaking out in the Far East. Japan is happy about that. Japan now can switch its main worry to receiving oil from the Gulf, and the United States, Vice President Cheney said this a couple weeks ago, is that the United States will guarantee the shipping lanes for the flow of oil. So I think there's only one opportunity for us to avoid war, and that is for the Iranians to come forward and start the negotiation, even if it takes months, the United States is willing to do this, for them not to develop nuclear weapons. The George Bush the other day said, look, it, we'll sit down and talk to the Iranians anytime, but the precursor to that is that they must give up their nuclear development programs before we even engage in any talks. So it's kind of eyeball to eyeball, and I think we're going to have to see which side blinks first.
Well, of course, the other thing is that once they've given up any intention to build nuclear weapons, why even bother to sit down? There's nothing to negotiate because they have no bargaining chips to negotiate with.
Well, in the neighboring countries have come forward and kind of, I wouldn't say they've threatened Europe or the United States, but they said, look, it, we're going to develop civilian nuclear programs. Several Middle Eastern countries said it. The Saudis said it. One of the Emirates said it. Egypt said it. And they said, listen, and I think that's basically a threat, that if you back down and let the Iranians fool you that they're developing a civilian nuclear program, then we're going to really develop a civilian nuclear program. And, of course, that will increase some type of nuclear proliferation throughout the Arab world. The future of that is very frightening because who knows today? I mean, you have a secular, repressive government in Egypt today, but tomorrow you might have an Islamic government, a fundamentalist Islamic government, and it could spread to other parts, other Arab countries. So I think the feeling also by our policymakers is that although Iran is a Islamic country, an Islamic fundamentalist country, it's not an Arab country. And the Arabs traditionally have not liked the Iranians. So we are reading into this that an attack on Iran to stop them from developing nuclear weapons would kill many birds at one stone. It would take the threat of a nuclear terrorist Iran away from Israel. It would eliminate Iran as the regional power, or certainly slow them down. It might encourage dissidents in Iran to overthrow the government. And it would undermine Hezbollah in Syria, who has been completely resupplied by Iran. So, and of course, the United States' goal of keeping the shipping lanes open, keeping the flow of oil going, so oil doesn't go up to $10 a barrel, or if it does go up substantially, it would only be a temporary situation until the United States was able to completely wipe out all the Iranian nuclear sites.
Well, you know, one of the things that really concerns me is would be a neighboring Pakistan. Now, Pakistan certainly, has today a more or less a secular government, really a dictatorship under Musharraf, but there's tremendous unrest in Pakistan. The Islamic, radical Islamic movement is growing by leaps and bounds, and certainly there are demonstrations at certain parts of the country, having a major demonstrations. And we've heard that the Karachi was burning the other night, and certainly because they've really done away with the moral, the legal process, they've fired the chief judge of Pakistan, and they've already talked of some sort of a co-government with Bhutto. I mean, I would think that everybody would be very, very concerned with Pakistan, their stability, and the radical Islamists taking over there, but really even more so because they do have nuclear weapons and they do have missiles. And if they were to fall to the hands of the radical Islamics, why, we'd be in real trouble. The whole of the Middle East could certainly go up in a sheet of flame.
And it would certainly extend to India, because India has said in so many policy-making statements, even when the United States helped avoid a nuclear confrontation some years ago, if you remember, between Pakistan and India, the Indians said if there was ever a radical fundamentalist state in Pakistan, they would probably do a preemptive strike. The only thing that would prevent that is Indian intelligence probably has the Pakistani government completely penetrated. Another reason, since you mentioned Pakistan, another reason why I think it's kind of there's a catalyst for war is that the United States has been supplying tremendous amounts of training and weapons to the area of Baluchistan. Now, Baluchistan, these are tribes that cross from Iran directly over into Pakistan. And Baluchistan has always been a problem. It was a problem, actually, during the war with Afghanistan. It was a problem for Pakistan. It's been a problem for Iran. But today, the Baluchis, if you will, are receiving tremendous amounts of covert help from the United States, which probably is an effort to put some pressure on the Iranian military, and at the same time divert certain attention away from the existing problems that the Pakistan government has. But yes, I would say that next to the confrontation in Iran, the most serious problem is Pakistan. The fundamentalists were giving, in the intelligence service, the Pakistani ISI and the military, under, you know, the father of the nuclear Pakistan bomb, Khan, they were giving help to bin Laden. They were giving help and support, intelligence support, against the United States to the Taliban. And those cadres still exist. Musharraf has eliminated a lot of them, put a lot of them in jail, but there is a tremendous religious fundamentalist movement that wants a fundamentalist state in Pakistan, very similar to Iran. And you're right, if that happens, we'll have trouble with India. Efforts in Afghanistan to defeat the Taliban will be undermined, and you'll have two countries next to each other that will basically have a tremendous influence from the Persian Gulf all the way to the Arabian Sea. So it is a very, very serious problem.
Well, I think that we really need to get the American people to realize, of course, that, you know, the Pandora's out of the box, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, and how we're ever going to get this all back together, I really don't know. But when we get back here, I'm going to talk to our special guest, Mr. John Quirk, about what's happening as far as the Near East are concerned, because there, of course, you have a very heavily armed Hamas and Hezbollah and Syria, and there are missiles pointed at Israel, and Israel is not going to take a massive missile attack. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, let's turn into the Near East, because, of course, certainly why Iran has been arming Syria, and Syria has been helping.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Having to resign now, Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, is under investigation for all sorts of criminal activity. He has no support among the Israeli people. His only support, a tenuous support, are some members of the Knesset who are already, of course, still loyal to him. But I mean, the vast majority of the Israeli people are furious. So you have a very unstable leadership there. The military and the intelligence agencies are letting other people know in other countries that they're going to take action independently. This is a pretty, a very, very volatile situation, as John was saying, of course, that the both Hezbollah and Hamas are armed to the teeth. One of the interesting things he was just saying was that the Israelis now are practicing with the British over by Gibraltar on low-level bombing with the idea that they're going to be able to use tactical nuclear weapons to take out the bunker busters, to take out the tunnels there in Lebanon where, of course, a lot of the weapons are stored. Now, one of the things that I did want to touch on this, and this is the fact that, of course, this discussion on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq is concerned. And certainly, you've commented in the past, and I've heard this from a number of sources, that there really were weapons of mass destruction there. They'd been moved into Syria long before the American attack. So they certainly were not the threat they were made out to be, but there are these chemical and biological weapons that were in Syria, and that Syria has access to those, and those could be used against Israel. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's pretty accurate because we're getting intelligence from Russia, and not too much from Syria, but we're getting intelligence from Russia that just probably weeks before the U.S. invasion some years ago to Iraq, is that Russian trucks moved in and Russian barges moved in and extricated all of the weapons of mainly chemical, not nuclear, but chemical and biological,
right.
And they picked up these plants wholesale that were in An-Najif and El-Hari and Baghdad and up in even Kirkuk and Arbil, and they trucked them basically into Syria and Iran. So I believe that that's where a lot of the weapons of mass destruction disappeared. Now, we don't know how old they are, what kind of warheads. A lot of them were in shells, like mortar shells and howitzer shells. There's not a lot of intelligence that they could be equipped to missiles, but they've had, certainly the Syrians have had, and the Iranians have had 5 years, and the Iranians have upgraded their El-Shabaab missiles tremendously, so they could be fitted with warheads.
Well, aren't they certainly getting a lot of help from Russia, the Russian technicians helping?
They get everything from Russia. They get parts, they get anti-aircraft missile batteries. The Russians have fitted new sophisticated missiles on old Iranian submarines with the idea that's how they could sink our carriers. The United States has done a study on that with, I believe, the Australian Navy. They specialize in this, and that's why the United States is considering, although Mr. Cheney said we would use naval strikes against Iran, I think that was a deception. I think most of the strikes would come from B-1 and B-52 bombers out of the United States, Diego Garcia, and other bases that we have. And I think that we would probably even let somebody know that, listen, we're not invading Iran. We're just taking out your nuclear facilities.
Well, somebody had called in and asked, they'd heard that the U.S. had cut off shipments of munitions to the Israelis to try to restrain them from taking action, you know, against their neighbors. Is there any truth to that?
No. The United States delivered 50 to 100 million dollars worth of bunker busters in September and October of last year. And those bombs can be fitted not on missiles, they can be fitted on aircraft. And the Israelis are ready, and the United States is fully prepared now.
All right, fine. So I think that it's important for our listeners out there to realize, of course, where we are. And Sydney, we're on the edge of disaster one way or the other. And the average American, is so concerned about what's going to happen to the NBA, or certainly the Giants, or their favorite baseball team, and of course, as the world is on the brink of serious consequences. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is John Quirk, and Chris, I love to have John on because he certainly is right on top of so much of what is going on today. Is there anybody, within the military who is, really going to object to this? We've heard that some of the generals, some of the admirals are really furious, and they've threatened to resign if we do go to war with Iran. Have you heard any rumors?
Well, there's people in the Army. There's top generals in the Army that have left the Army. They've resigned. I mean, and they've given commentary that it's a terrible mistake to attack Iran because of the consequences. And those consequences could either be terrorism in the United States, terrorism with the help of Chavez in Venezuela, bottling up the Gulf and blocking oil deliveries for weeks or months, ruining the European economy, and possibly the biggest fear that the military has is not that we're not able to take out the targets. The biggest fear they have is retaliation by Iran. And if I could tell your listeners, if you go to an atlas and you look at a map, there's a chain of mountains called the Zagros Mountains, which are not far from the border of actually not just Iraq, but the border of Baghdad. And it's estimated that the Iranians have an army of something like 250,000 to 450,000 people poised to strike in and attack our troops to inflict tremendous amounts of casualties so we would lose or back down, and they're not afraid of expanding the war. You see, one of the problems you have here, unlike Iraq, is that you have fanatical religious people in charge of the Revolutionary Guards. They don't have a normal foreign policy. They don't have a foreign policy where you can negotiate. They really fear that the United States is trying to destroy Islam. So they are preparing for the old Persian Empire to strike out and defend their culture. This is what the American military is worried about. I don't think the Navy is worried about things. I think the Army is. The Army has been demanding more and more Apache helicopters to back up our troops. There's more of a logistical demand for hospital supply bases that are now in Romania and Bulgaria, I believe.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is this evening is John Quirk. And it's evening. It's quite late back in Florida where John is living, so we appreciate his being with us. But John is just saying that there are many, many people within our military who are warning about going to war with Iran. Because in contrast to the secular country of Iraq, with Iran you're dealing with people who are fundamental Islamic. For instance, they have this belief, you know, that the only way you're going to be sure to get to heaven, and with all the benefits of going to heaven, is to die in battle. They do not look at the world as you and I do. They think it's glorious to die as a suicide bomber. They lost almost a million people when they were at war with Iraq during the 1980s. It was a terrible and bloody situation. And John was just saying that they have an army somewhere between 250,000 and 400,000 men, you know, in a range of mountains, you know, between Iraq and Iran. And those soldiers, in case we were to launch an attack on their nuclear facilities, would set out to inflict terrible casualties on our troops there in Iraq. And of course, a lot of them are there in the Green Zone in the Baghdad area, and then of course in small outlying posts across Iraq. We've got 160,000 troops there, and if they were suddenly to begin pouring in all these Iranian soldiers, I mean, they would retaliate against the United States if we were to attack them. And, of course, I think that this is a very real reason. Many of the military people are really concerned about that, aren't they?
Yes, and what they're worried about is the future, what's going to happen in the weeks and months after we attack the nuclear facilities. They would worry that we would lose tremendous amounts of people. The war would expand. We might have to use even more and more forces. We might have to rush more forces there. You know, there's lots of rumors that the Turks would come in to help us, or that we would unleash the Kurds, who CIA has been training for a large number of years, but that would just expand the war even more. I think the Bush administration feels that a bigger loss would be the loss of faith that the surrounding countries have in the United States to guarantee their security. And unfortunately, we've made commitments through treaties to guarantee security of Turkey, of NATO, of Azerbaijan, of Israel, of Iraq, the government of Iraq. Saudi Arabia would fall or certainly lose face. Kuwait and the Emirates would certainly lose face. You know, as you mentioned, Pakistan might fall, might be encouraged and energized by an Iran that stands up to the United States. So we're playing for some very high stakes there. The stakes are the preservation of Israel, the flow of oil, the security of the shipping lanes, and the stability of at least 10 or 15 countries in the region, so they don't become Islamic slash fundamentalist slash jihadist nations. So I think the lesser of all the evils that our policymakers feel, especially there's a whole new group of policymakers coming in. A lot of them are leaving at the end of June that served in the National Security Council. The ones that are coming in are kind of more, even in some cases, hardline. They feel we have no alternative but to remove, not to invade Iran, not to destroy their culture, but to stop them from developing nuclear weapons. And then, of course, the other thing you'll see in the next few weeks is that there's going to be demands by other countries like Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries to develop civilian uses of nuclear power.
All right. Well, now, of course, then there's always, of course, the Hugo Chavez card. And, of course, there seemed to be a very close relationship between President Ahmadinejad of Iran and Hugo Chavez. And don't they have some sort of a non-aggression pact?
Yes, they have. We believe they have some kind of non-aggression. Well, it is a non-aggression pact that if one country is attacked, the other one will come to its aid. It doesn't say militarily, but it certainly means economically.
And, of course, this could mean cutting off the oil from Venezuela. They're, what, our fourth largest supplier of oil behind, what, Canada and Mexico?
Yeah, we get about 15% of our oil from it's currently from Venezuela, although the Venezuelans are selling large amounts of oil tenders to the Chinese for the future. They want to replace the United States with China.
All right. So basically, of course, but a rather abrupt shut off of that oil from Venezuela, especially if we were certainly having it limited from other countries, could have a profound impact. And then, of course, if Iran were cut off the oil going through the Straits of Hormuz, although this would not affect us primarily, wouldn't this have a disastrous effect on Europe? And wouldn't the Europeans be putting tremendous pressure?
Oh, absolutely. Europe would be a basket case.
And, of course, you know, the last thing we want to do is would be alienate our European allies. How are they feeling about, you know, our possibility that we're going to go to war with Iran?
Well, no one really knows. They're so preoccupied with their own anti-Americanism that they don't have a military to hurt us, but they possibly could support terrorism. Al Qaeda trains there, Hezbollah's there, so we don't really know. Our intelligence is not really all that good, and we seem so focused on Iraq that I don't think we spend the time we should focusing on Venezuela.
Well, of course, you know, we've heard for many years, and I just don't know whether it's true or not, because I'm skeptical of everything I hear, but that there really are Iranian terror cells that have been placed in America, sleeper cells that we're talking about going back almost 20 years, that they're here, that they're melded into the community. But, you know, if we were to attack Iran and the word would be given and these people could begin mobilizing, they could do things like starting wildfires all across the country. They could certainly poison the water supply. They wouldn't have to have even a nuclear weapons. There's so much they could do to disrupt our food and infrastructure. What about that? Is this a real fear, or is this something that comes off of television? John?
Yeah.
Oh, the question is, do we really have to fear domestic terrorism? John, are you there? Well, I think it looks like we may have lost John. John, if you're not there, well, I think we're going to have to... I think I'll just ask our producer to call John back again. John, are you there? doesn't look like. So I'm going to just disconnect and have our producer go ahead and call him, and then we'll see if we can get him back on line one, or we'd have somebody calling in on line one, see what's going on. Unready signal. Here we have somebody on line one. Who do we have on line one?
Hello.
Hello, John?
Yeah, sorry. We had a little problem.
Okay, that's fine. Well, anyway.
We're okay now. Yes, well, I think our intelligence community, which, you know, if you look at the 22 intelligence services we have, you know, the ones that take care of domestic counterintelligence, the FBI, the military at our different bases in the United States, CIA to a certain extent, but they have to work with the Bureau, are focusing mainly on Iran more than Al-Qaeda or the Palestinians or Islamic Jihad or Hezbollah. Most of those other terrorist groups, although the FBI and the military has squads of people that work those, because of the trouble with Iran, they're focusing more on Iranians that could be conducting covert operations, espionage in the United States. And I would say it comes mostly from the leaks are in Canada and across our border in Mexico. That's where we've caught some of them crossing the border.
And so, really, our intelligence agencies are really in pretty good shape, aren't they? I mean, my impression is that we are very, very efficient. They've probably got most of this under control. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think the FBI has done a fantastic job since 9/11. It's built up its counterintelligence staff and its counterterrorism staff. They have two different groups of people that work this. One is intelligence. You know, they work what is known as criteria countries, you know, China, Cuba, so on and so forth. And then counterterrorism is actually broken up into separate squads of all the different terrorist groups. But I would say the Iranians are top on the list, and that's not just it's not Hezbollah, and it's not Al Qaeda. It's Iranian spies that would be based here, not just to conduct espionage, but to link up and try to engage in terrorism. And I think the Bureau and the military have done a fantastic job. One of the problems we have is our borders are so porous, and if it's easy to smuggle people over the border, it probably would be easy to smuggle, you know, a suitcase bomb or possibly, you know, other terrorists. So I think that is the big concern with Homeland Security and the FBI. And we know that Chavez in Venezuela has issued something like 30 to 40,000 Venezuelan passports to people. We know Al-Qaeda has trained there. Hezbollah has an office in Venezuela. And the Iranians are there in force. You know, Chavez says, oh, they're buying tractors from Iran and a container port. But I think that Venezuela is used as a terrorist base against the United States.
And I really think that this is a very, very serious thing to contemplate. And I don't think that Iran would dare to unleash these terrorists. However, if we were to attack Iran, why, they would have absolutely nothing to lose. They realize, of course, that they either sit there and they simply take it, or they would retaliate, hoping that they could hurt us. Not defeat us militarily, but hurt us.
It's a good point. The two things that the Iranians and the Venezuelans agree on is that they could not defeat us militarily on our soil, but that's why they would engage in a covert operation with the weapons of mass destruction, where it would be almost impossible for us to trace two or three terrorists or Iranians posing as Venezuelans putting a biological or a chemical weapon in the United States. I mean, it'd be just impossible to trace that. And, you know, the only thing that would make the Iranians fearful is that, and this could be a plus, is that we went to war with Iraq without a lot of intelligence on weapons of mass destruction. The Iranians are probably thinking, you know, these Americans are very aggressive, and it wouldn't take a lot for them to destroy our country if the Americans even suspect we put a weapons of mass destruction in there. And we would. I don't think you could control our military. They would probably accelerate the destruction of Iran. And that's the one thing that Iranians, more than probably any other Islamic country, are worried about. They're worried about the destruction of that old, wonderful Persian culture.
But of course,
the disturbing thing is that none of the intelligence that we've acquired shows that the Iranians are either backing down or are afraid of us, or for that matter, really want to engage in a dialogue to end their nuclear programs. That's what's really scary. There's no even hint through backdoor channels or through European liaison or through academics or through visitors that the Iranians are willing to give up their nuclear development. And we all know, the Europeans know, the IAE knows, all the Arab, their Arab neighbors know, the United States know, our intelligence services know, that the Iranians are lying through their teeth. They have an active program to develop weapons from their nuclear materials.
Well, of course, the thing is, I think that the vast majority of the Iranian people don't want a war. I mean, you've used the figure, what is it, 60% of the people over there between 15 and 30, and they don't want to go to war, do they?
No, they don't want to go to a war, and I know people that have traveled to Iran and come back and said they like America, they don't like the existing regime, there are a lot of divergent groups, but they don't have an active opposition. Only in the last 2 weeks, there's been all kinds of arrests and murders of moderates, academics, of people that have dared to speak up, and the Revolutionary Guard, who are, you know, the president's hitmen, the mullah's hitmen, just sit on any type of dissent, whether it's inside Iran or outside. So, you know, we're spending $100 million on radio broadcasts and piping in music and entertainment, and trying to encourage dissent, but there is no dissent, and it doesn't look like there'll be any dissent.
So
that's the other thing the mullahs are hoping for if the United States attacks. Nothing unites a country like an outside aggressor. Even though they may be sympathetic to the United States, they're not going to be too happy when we're dropping bombs and missiles on their country.
Well, I really think that is such an important point, and I've heard this made by Iranians that the one thing they fear is America will attack the country. These are Iranians who hate the mullahs, but they realize, of course, if we attack Iran and kill some Iranian civilians, we're going to unite all of these people who today really, of course, care for America, do not like the mullahs, but they will switch over and they'll begin supporting the mullahs. And, of course, then the Iranian people will be kept under this ruthless tyranny, more or less indefinitely. So there are a lot of the Iranians who just hope and pray that we do not attack for that very, very reason. But the other thing is, if we were to go in there and really do a lot of damage to their civilian population, we would inflame the entire Islamic world. Isn't that true?
Well, nobody really knows. I mean, the countries that I've talked to people, like Azerbaijan, they're basically Iranians. I mean, they speak Farsi. The Azerbaijanis, the Omanis, Saudis, even the Turks, people in Turkmenistan, I know people in all those places. They don't have a lot of use for the Iranians, and I don't think a lot of the rest of the Arab world does. They, even though they're Shia in many of these countries, and they're certainly Muslim, they don't really sympathize with the government of Iran or their tactics. You know, the other thing that could affect everything, which the Iranians believe they have ace in the hole, they believe that if they could inflict tremendous number of casualties, take out one of our carriers or kill thousands of our soldiers, they're only like, I think they could
hold that thought right there, please. Well, John, what was the point you were saying that they feel that
I don't know how the American people would react if there were tremendous casualties. You see, the Iran Baghdad, it's less than 100 miles from the Iranian border. And if they inflicted large numbers of casualties, I mean, the Americans would either get very, very angry, or you don't know. They might, they're already fed up with the war in Iraq. They might, something might happen that the American people might demand that the war end. I think our technological backgrounds, the Americans, you know, we're kind of technocrats. We take a slide rule out and we say, if we have so many F-22s, B-1s, B-52s, we can take out these sites in these amount of days and it'll all be over. I'm not sure that this type of airstrike naval war would necessarily go like that, and I think that's the fear of our military.
Amen to that. Well, look, let's get your website out, your blog site, in case people would like to get more information from your point of view.
Yeah, I can also send an article I wrote about Iran, about what they're going to do to us. I'll give you my email. I still have to send some out to previous listeners, but I promise I'll do it tomorrow. My email is irgglobal@aol.com. And I wrote this article based on what I believe what the Iranians are going to do, their defensive measures against the United States.
And, of course, that's irgglobal@aol.com.
Correct.
irgglobal@aol.com. And I think John's information is very important. We need to reach as many people as we can here, and if we're talking less than 2 months before, the clock begins to tick towards what I feel could be a major change in America as we know it. Well, John, I want to thank you so very much for being with us this evening. I know it's late back there, but it's been a fascinating hour, as always, and please keep me appraised as to what's going on.
Well, my best wishes. God bless you, and thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, that was John Quirk, of course, in intelligence, has been with intelligence for many years, retired now, but still has all sorts of connections all over the world. And you will not get a better briefing on what, of course, is going on than the one you just had here at Radio Liberty. So let me encourage you to keep abreast of it. If you'd like to get, of course, copies of the tapes of this program or the previous programs we've done with John, or why they are available, you need to keep abreast and begin making preparations. I believe we're on the edge of serious problems. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program this evening. We did talk during the breaks, and if you'd like to get a tape of this program, let me suggest, I think it was a very important program. John has tremendous contacts all throughout the world, and I've found his information to be very, very reliable. We've checked him out before we ever put him onto our programs, with people who've known him and worked with intelligence with him. So what you're getting is the things that he's able to get from his contacts, and you're going to get an entirely different idea of what's going on in the world here than you're getting through most of the media, which is all controlled by the establishment. And now, if you'd like to get a copy of our interviews with John, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then understand the spiritual forces that are at work that are driving us towards what I believe is World War III. Of course, you need, of course, to get my February newsletter. It's up on the Internet, February 2007. That goes into the background of the spiritual forces that really do want a major war in the Islamic world. And certainly if you don't have access to the computer, we'd be glad to send you a copy of the February newsletter if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you will want to get my analysis of the wars of the 20th century and the latter part of the 19th century. This comes in a video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. It comes with an excellent syllabus. And nothing has really changed in my estimation since I gave this talk several years ago, because we've always anticipated we were moving towards World War III, and it isn't necessarily what our leaders think. many times they are, of course, deeply influenced by the spiritual forces which control their outlook on what's going on. We have some pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy. You should read it because it's taken not what I say, but what the people who are members of the occult hierarchy say. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do write pamphlets and books and newsletters. They circulate among themselves. That's the occult hierarchy. And then, of course, those are inexpensive, I might point out. But they're very, very well formatted. They're simply summaries of our newsletters. They're up available at RadioLiberty.com, but we've put them in pamphlets for you so you can better see what's happening than if you have not yet heard my talk on The Forbidden Secret. It's available in DVD or video. Why, of course, we hope you want to get that. My talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, book, DVD, or video. We have an excellent DVD or video of Constance Cumby talking about her 27-year study of the New Age movement and its ultimate goal, which would appear to be coinciding with exactly what's going on in the world today. We have a four-tape set with Constance, and then, of course, we have her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and it is just as applicable today as it was back in 1982 when it came out, and we've got part of the last supply of those books that are available. So we do have the DVD or VHS of Constance Cumby, and we call it The Emergence, and then the four-tape set, and so all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And so our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Or if you join the Radio Liberty family, you get our four best tapes or CDs in the month. And then, of course, you get the monthly newsletter. And you'll get information there that you will not get elsewhere. Our March newsletter just went out. Our March newsletter actually deals with how we have been financing the Soviets for many years. Of course, remember, the Soviets are financing the Iranians. The Iranians are financing the Syrians. The Syrians are backing Hezbollah and Hamas and providing with the weapons that will be used against the United States and Israel in the coming conflict. So understand that nothing is as it appears to be. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And for this hour, we're going to have Jackie Alnor with us. And we've interviewed Jackie before on a book she's written. And then we've interviewed her husband on books he's written on UFOs and UFO cults. But I asked Jackie to come on this evening and talk to us about a DVD she and her husband put out. And it has to do with what is happening in the Christian church today. Now, certainly Christianity has been the foundation of America for almost 200 years, but it has been a foundation that was based in biblical beliefs and biblical studies and the Holy Scriptures. But increasingly we're getting away from those things, which some people feel are outmoded, and we're getting to more of an experiential type of Christianity, an emotional type of Christianity, almost more occult form of Christianity. And certainly Jackie and her husband have done a tremendous job of putting together this DVD, and so we want to talk about what is happening in the church today, because believe me, the church should be our bulwark of protection against the things that are going on, and unfortunately they're not protecting us very well. Jackie, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be on.
So why don't you pick up and tell our listeners a little bit about this DVD? You made it a couple of years ago, but it's just as applicable today as it was when it came out.
Yes, I called it The Great Apostasy, The Lost Sign. And the reason it's The Lost Sign is because people don't realize that one of the greatest signs of the end times, I mean, certainly besides Israel being formed as a nation and the Jews having Jerusalem back and some of the signs of the times and in the weather and the increase in earthquakes and many of those things, one of the greatest signs of the times is what the Bible refers to as the falling away. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." Of course, speaking of the Antichrist. And so it's a sign that people really aren't looking at. We know in the book of Revelation that there's going to be the formation of what is referred to in the 17th chapter of Revelation as the mother harlot. The mystery Babylon. It would be a formation of pretty much a unification of the world religions. Well, Christianity or some form of it certainly is going to be part of that. And I believe again that the woman who sits on the beast is from the seven hills, which the Bible in many places seems to refer to that it could be Rome. And so when we see the ecumenism going on in Christianity from all elements of Christianity, we started to take notice. And you look on the liberal side of Christianity and they want to be more ecumenical, and you look on the Catholic side and the Catholics want, you know, all of the denominations to answer to them. And then the Pentecostal side, there's the Catholic charismatics, and so there's the ecumenism all over the place, and even with other religions as well. And so one of the things that we saw back during the time of what was known as the Toronto Blessing and the Holy Laughter was all kinds of strange things that were going on, and we were taping all of this, the things that we saw on TV. We were taping Christian television.
Hold that right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Jackie is talking about this equumenical movement in both the Catholic and Pentecostal and the Evangelical Church, really. Oh, if we just all get together, we could have this common religion. Well, of course, that has always been the occult belief, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and then changing the nature of religion. So, certainly, they're talking about some of these strange things that happened when we had the Toronto Blessing. And maybe for our listeners out there, Jackie, who do not know what the Toronto Blessing was, and some people think this is of God, why don't you give them your impression of what the Toronto Blessing and so many of these almost supernatural, emotional things that have taken place really are all about?
Well, again, the DVD shows a lot of the footage of that. And again, this was something that was a fad back in the late 1990s. But the same groups who were involved in that are now looking for the latest, next move of what they call the Holy Spirit, though I don't see that as being the Holy Spirit. I see it as being the unholy spirit who is counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. But the Toronto Blessing, I'm referring to the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, which used to be called the Toronto Vineyard in Canada, and back in the late 90s, a lot of strange things started happening. John Arnott, who is the pastor of that church, was facilitating everybody to start laughing and to receive whatever the Spirit was giving them. And they didn't really call out on Jesus during all of this. He just kept saying, "More Lord, more Lord," and more, 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 and calling, and everybody screaming out for more of whatever these manifestations were. And the manifestations included things like people shaking uncontrollably, people rolling and rolling on the floor, unable to stop themselves, everybody being in what looked like an altered state of consciousness, and people running madly and wildly with their arms flailing all over the place. And there was reports of people barking like dogs and crowing like roosters, and all kinds of crazy things. One of the manifestations that we show on the tape is of people who are bent over and they cannot straighten themselves up, and sometimes they end up toppling on the floor, but they're bent. And I mean, I remember a scripture where a woman came to Jesus to be healed, who was a spirit had kept her bent over, and Jesus straightened her out and healed her.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jackie really has some amazing film footage on this DVD. And basically, of course, the Toronto Blessing, where people were barking like dogs and rolling around on the floor and flailing their arms. And of course, they were looking for this spirit to come into them, and it would manifest in its way. But the question is, what spirit? And where we get into problems today is people don't understand that there are other spirits beside, Sydney, the spirit of the Holy Spirit that can enter into people and come up with physical manifestations, but it doesn't mean it's coming from the Holy Spirit of God, because the other dimension is out there also trying to take over the lives of our people. And so there were so many strange things, so Jackie, where did you get all that film footage? Amazing film footage.
Well, I was taping everything. I had, at that time, I don't know if you've heard of Sky Angel. Sky Angel is a satellite, Christian satellite program, at least if you can call it Christian. It has like 35 stations that are all Christian stations that were playing different people's programs, a lot of local ones that and Christian programming you wouldn't see on TBN, but I was also taping TBN, especially all of their praise songs, for many years. You see, way back in the 80s, my husband was the news editor of the Christian Research Journal at the time when the late Walter Martin was alive, and I would assist him in gathering documentation for different articles, because both of us wrote for our own publication, the Christian Sentinel, and we wrote for a lot of other publications too, and so we had to be able to document everything. And so I paid this extra, had to get an extra satellite dish for Sky Angel, and then another satellite dish that where I could get TBN and some of the other things. And so there was very many. The Daystar is one of the networks that is on Sky Angel, and of course Sky Angel has its own. And some of the things programming on Sky Angel is even worse than some of the stuff that you'd see on TBN. So I was just taping it, and we were gathering all of this information for our research and for the work that my husband was doing with the Christian Research Institute and for Walter Martin. And we just started noticing, money always seems to be tied in with, the television. Of course, it costs money to pay for the satellite and everything, and so they need to be really they get too aggressive on raising money, and it becomes all about money. And some of these manifestations that they would highlight and everything would that they were trying to pass off as the Holy Spirit, it would still seem to come with pleas for money. The two seem to be intertwined. The man who really brought the Holy Laughter Movement into the United States in a big way was a guy named Rodney Howard Brown. And we went to see him in his performance at a church in Delaware back in the late 90s, in which he just was the most shameful fundraising I've ever seen. And he gets up there and says that anyone who says that they have to be poor are idiots. You know, he just insulted anybody that didn't have money, because if you knew how to tap in to the Holy Spirit's resources, that nobody would be poor.
Yeah, this is sort of the name it and claim it Napoleon Hill type of approach.
Sure. There's so many crossovers between things like the, you know, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, was that his? And
something like that.
Yeah. There was a lot of crossover with that, crossover with people like Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral, the possibility thinking that he picked that up from Norman Vincent Peale's positive thinking, who he picked that up from the mind science cults with the mind over matter. And so all of these different streams of error kind of converge, and lately so many of them have been converging. Now you've got the like the Episcopal churches, the one in San Francisco that I went and saw their labyrinth. The labyrinth is this big thing where people are supposed to walk in these things that look like a maze that you would set a little white mouse in a maze to see if they can find their way out. And somehow that's supposed to bring some sort of spiritual energy down. Everybody is talking about tapping into some sort of energy, whether they be Pentecostal or on the other side of things. You've got the Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox into their contemplative prayer, where they get into altered states of consciousness, and all of it is to try to tap into some sort of power for themselves. And it's not power to overcome sin, but power to get the things that they want out of life for themselves, which is just contrary to the Bible.
And I think what people really get into problems is, if you're coming from a Christian perspective, you do not understand that there are other forces out there. There is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension where the angels and our Lord lives, and then there's a spiritual dimension where the Satan and the demons live, and you get into that dimension and start trying to manipulate it for your own advantage. You know, here's what I want. This is what you've got to give me, and I'm going to think about it till you give it to me. And the trouble is that sometimes you'll get these things without really realizing they're not coming from the Lord of Heaven, but from the Prince of Darkness. And so I think one of the things most important today is the realization that most Christians do not understand the true nature of the spiritual battle, or the fact that when they start meditating or getting into those labyrinths or begin looking for this, this source, how they can manipulate things for their benefit, they don't understand they're opening up really to demonic possession. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Oh, certainly. And unfortunately, what they don't understand is, and the Bible tells us so specifically, that the devil and his messengers disguise themselves as angels of light. And so they don't come out looking, they don't come out and say, with a pitchfork and everything and looking like, our concepts of what the devil should look like. The devil, who was the covering cherub back, when he was known as Lucifer before his fall, he was the most beautiful. And so he presents himself looking so beautiful. And certainly the Antichrist, who is to come, is going to want to fool everybody into thinking he is the Christ. And so he is going to come as a man of peace and a man who is going to say all the right things and say to everybody whatever they want to hear. And people who do not have any discernment now, and they can't see through some of the people that are leading people astray today, if they can't see through that, how are they going to see through the false prophet and through the Antichrist when he comes on the scene and deceives everybody with lying signs and wonders? And I'm sure that he's going to do it in the name of Christ.
I'm sure he is as well. And this is really what's so frightening, what's so really exciting about these times, is that those of us who recognize it, you know, that this great deceiver is coming, and he's coming very, very soon. And what form he's going to take, I don't know. But I do know he's going to fool most people, and even many of the elect will be deceived. This is the frightening thing to contemplate.
Well, and those who do not have a love for the truth will be given a lie. And if people don't want to test these people who claim to be prophets and everything, and we've been told, I've been told so many times, oh, you know, don't touch God's anointed, or do my prophets no harm. I get those. In other words, don't question these people, because you could get yourself on the wrong side of God by doing that. And I tell them, I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit says to test the spirits and to see if they are of God. He himself wants us to test the spirits, and so I'm going to listen to him and not to everybody's silly little warnings about not to test anything, because it's that just receive it and don't test it attitude that's going to get everybody into trouble. And anyone who really loves the truth will always test all things to see if it lines up with God's revealed word.
And if it doesn't, why abort and get away from it immediately? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Jackie Alnoren. And this DVD she has, what's the title of it again?
It's called The Great Apostasy, The Last Sign.
The Great Apostasy, The Last Sign. It is a fascinating DVD. My wife and I watched it a week or two ago and really enjoyed it thoroughly. And I've been looking forward to getting Jackie back onto the program. And the footage that she has gotten really is unique. And when you begin to see the manifestations of this power, you know, in the Toronto blessings and elsewhere. But it is not, in my estimation, necessarily of God. And we have a lot of people who profess to be prophets of God who do have supernatural power. But I don't believe it's coming from God. That's the problem. And until Christians begin to question it, and just because somebody's on a Christian television station doesn't mean they're a Christian at all. And just because they claim to be a prophet of God doesn't mean they're a prophet of God. So how can people test the spirits, Jackie? Because that is the question. How do we know when a prophet is not a prophet?
Well, we know that the Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus. And so we know that he will always point to Jesus. And when people have their attention on the Holy Spirit, in other words, they have their conferences that is all about, you know, Holy Spirit come, or Holy Spirit, you know, the focus becomes on the Holy Spirit. Well, if any time that's the case, then it isn't the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to Christ. He's going to direct us to Jesus. He's not going to direct anyone to himself. He is the Spirit of Christ. He directs everyone to Christ. And I think that that's one sure way. Everything that is said and done needs to be, as Paul told the Corinthians, you know, decently and in order. And as far as manifestations such as the ones listed in the Bible, such as tongues, if that's going to happen in the assembly, there has to be an interpreter, and then all things are to be tested.
Hold on, Tom. We'll be right back. All right, you go right ahead, Jackie.
And I was just saying that in order to test any of these things, the person has to be grounded in the Word of God. And unfortunately, through this whole time of this apostasy, the Bible is really being pushed into the background everywhere, and it is a Christian's only defense. If you read in Ephesians 6, you know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's taking away our weapon when the Bible takes a back seat. And so many churches are just, you know, not teaching the Word. People aren't even reading it. You'll go to a lot of churches on Sunday, and people aren't even bringing their Bibles with them. And in the latest phase called the Emergent Church, it's again that taken the, everybody's eyes off the Bible, and it's a new, you know, it's okay, they tell you, to doubt everything, and you don't have to be sure about anything. And so, I mean, the Word of God is being attacked from so many directions it isn't even funny. And that is all we have by which to get to know the voice of our Master. Jesus says that his shepherds know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Well, you can't get to know his voice unless you get to know his Word. And then, when you hear things being said, you'll know when it's coming from the Spirit of what we know by being filled with the Spirit and reading the Bible. We become so familiar with his voice that the stranger we won't follow. But unless we take the time to be, you know, grounded in the Word and to rightly divide the Word, we won't have any way of testing all of these things. And that's how people get tossed to and fro by every wind of the Spirit that's blowing around right now. And there's a trap for everybody.
And I think, of course, one of the greatest traps we have is all the different interpretations of the Bible. And they can't all be accurate. I mean, if this is the Word of God, then how can there be so many different translations of it? And some of them are so far away from the Bible. And yet, it's little bit by little bit, they've done this, I believe, in a conscious effort to confuse, you know, God's people. And so, you know, obviously, you know, if they're conflicting words of God, then they're not the words of God. And then you get people beginning to doubt. And everything today is to lead us away from the truth. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Jackie Alnorm. And we're talking about what would appear to be today a great apostasy, as more and more of our people are beginning, of course, to get off onto these sidetracks. And we have something called the Emerging Church. We're telling people that they've got to learn how to meditate. Oh, meditation is a way to get closer to the Lord. But if you read the writings of the people who are into the occult, they will tell you that the way you open yourself up to the demonic possession is exactly the same process of emptying your mind of everything and just meditating on nothing. And that sort of vacuuming your mind, and then you become so very, very susceptible to the demonic spirits coming in. And remember, they do want to possess us. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Jackie Alnorm, and of course, her DVD really has some great footage in it, going back a couple of years, but I think we need to see it. We need to see all these supernatural manifestations, but they're not necessarily coming from God. This is a thing, but it's so easy to believe they are coming from God when the minister is telling us, you know, if you fall down on the floor and begin shaking all over, that's God or the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in you, or when you're barking like a dog or howling like a wolf or whatever they're doing. And yet, of course, we're leading people further and further away from, as Jackie says, our only source of truth, which is the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Well, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Well, Jackie, what sort of response did you get when you brought your DVD out? Because that was several years ago, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I made it in 1999, and it's kind of was slow at first in getting some distribution, but then some larger ministries started carrying it. And I, you know, anybody who would sit down and watch it, I've hardly gotten any criticism about it, oddly. I've gotten lots of hate mail from people responding to articles I've written and everything, but when they see this, they can't really argue with me over what I present, because I'm just presenting the people themselves, and so, you know, they can't accuse me of making things up or anything like that. So so many people have told me that after seeing this or showing it to somebody who is caught up in these things, that that it really turned the light bulb on for them, and I've gotten a lot of praise reports coming back from people. Oh, thank you for getting at me out of this. And then I've heard stories and testimonies of people who had been involved in it and just how fearful they were throughout it. It's very interesting how some of the people shaking and everything, they really don't look good while they're doing it. And when you talk to those who have seen the light and come out of it, they were not experiencing anything heavenly. A lot of it brought on a really horrible spirit of fear upon them. Others, you know, couldn't even come out of it, out of their laughter or out of their shaking or something, and had to miss work the next day or something like that. So I got a whole lot of feedback from people on what horrible influence all of this had upon them, and some of them had even talked about some people who got involved in this and just says, hey, this is weird, and that they just gave up Christianity altogether. This has closed the door on many people to even walk with the Lord because they think that all of Christianity that is like this, or that was, you know, if that's Christianity, I don't want to get involved. That was just too scary.
And I think really when you see what was really going on, you can understand from a rational point of view, none of this is rational. And if that's Christianity, but the problem is it is not Christianity. It's a cheap counterfeit that comes from the other dimension. And our play is to understand there is another dimension and you do not want to go there under any circumstances.
Yes, and you know, I had written a article last week about a recent commentary written by Lee Grady, who is the editor of Charisma Magazine. And a whole group of him and his friends, and he's really involved in the Apostolic Reformation, which is a group of people who claim to be today's apostles and prophets. And they're the ones behind this big gathering that they all want to have in a big stadium in Nashville. And they're going to have this on 777, which is July 7th, 2007, because they've been hearing from God that some great shifting of the heavenlies or something is going to happen that day, and so they want to get their critical mass of people gathered together to pray in the stadium on that day. And the kind of things that they're looking for this next outpouring, which again goes back to, they use terms like the coming together of Joel's army and the latter rain, and looking for this greatest next big thing that God's going to do. And they're assuming that whatever the Spirit, and I say that with a small s, did back in Toronto is going to be even bigger and greater on 777. And so that this gathering where they all got together with different people looking for some big revivals, and they prayed for it. They said that they decided what it's going to look like, and they refer to it as God's holy disruption. And they say, quote, it will be gloriously messy, and it will be accompanied by astounding miracles, and old church programs and facilities will become obsolete.
And here's the thing, is there could be miracles, but
certainly,
do they necessarily come from our Lord, or are they coming from the other side?
Well, they say that they're wanting to imagine the raw spiritual energy.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jackie Alnorn.
Yes, Alnor.
She's talking about this big meeting that's going to be held on 7/7/7. And what are they looking for? This raw something or other?
Yeah, they say that they're wanting raw spiritual energy, that's going to come forth, and it's going to go over the airways because they'll televise it, and that, you know, that this is going to be a new shift in the heavenlies, and they're saying it's going to be gloriously messy with miracles, and referring to it as God's holy disruption. And they feel from different prophets that have confirmed to them that this is going to be the next Azusa Street. Now, in the video, I talk about the Azusa Street revival a little bit that happened back in 1906, and that was in Los Angeles. And actually, a year ago in L.A., some of these same people I'm talking about here from these apostles and prophets had were the keynote speakers at the big gathering that they had last year in Los Angeles for the 100-year anniversary of Azusa Street. And they connected, of course, with the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, you know, that all kinds of rumbling was going on, plus rumblings in the spirit, and they spiritualized everything. And, you know, people don't realize that at the Azusa Street so-called revival, you know, William Seymour, who was the pastor of that Azusa Street mission, where everyone just started babbling out in tongues and everything. And again, I say tongues with quotes around it because they really weren't speaking other languages. They were just babbling in phrase, you know, vain repetitions, basically, of syllables. And then they call that tongues. But anyway, when that was going on, it got very wild and crazy. And even a guy who really was William Seymour's kind of his father in the faith was a guy named Charles Parnham, who taught a lot of heresy. But even Parnham, as heretical as he was, he went to Azusa Street when all of this was going on, and he told them that there were evil spirits in there. And anyway, Seymour and the rest of them kind of tossed Parnham out. And he was very concerned, and they didn't. He said that there was hypnotism going on, is how he put it. And so these things that happened in 1906 are the things that they want to recapture, and they call it the latter rain. In other words, God, you know, poured out His Spirit at Pentecost, and now, He's going to pour it out again.
All right, hold that. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and really out across America, people are desperate for God to intervene and save America. And, of course, we know that God did intervene during the time of the First Great Awakening. It was about 1840, and the Second Great Awakening in 1820 and 1830. But this was the transformation of individuals. It was not these supernatural manifestations of something. And then, first, Jackie was talking about the Azusa Street revival, 1906. But these were all, they were supernatural, but they weren't necessarily of God. There were people babbling, and of course, it wasn't an individual transformation of the individual. They were simply babbling in different tongues. And certainly, many people who saw this felt that this was really of the devil. And we've had these things have happened pretty over this past 100 years, going right up to the right present time. But people are looking for another manifestation of God's interference to save our country. But He's going to have to intervene one person at a time. He's going to have to change the hearts of men, not giving them some sort of a vague manifestation of something supernatural. Because, of course, it may be supernatural, but it may not be coming from the God of the heavens. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Is there anything else we should tell our listeners about your DVD before we tell them how they can get that from you?
Okay, well, I try to show where some of these false teachings within the church came about from Azusa Street on to the present time. And as a warning, as a thing, kind of heads up on what, to look out for these things if they try to rear their heads in their church, in people's churches who watch it, or if they got involved in these things and couldn't quite figure out, where was this coming from. And people have a lot of questions like, well, how can God allow this and everything, I know a scripture that a lot of the people involved in these things give you is they say, well, but God says if you ask for a bread, He's not going to give you a stone, and so He only give good things to His people. But the problem is that the seeking for these things is not seeking for Jesus, and when you're seeking for a sign, Jesus says that it is a wicked and evil generation that seeks after a sign. So if you ask him for a sign, you know, what, is he going to give you a sign? it doesn't work that way. So we show also at the ending of the tape also some of the clips of the kind of reaction that people, especially on TBN, give to anyone who questions any of the false teachings, like having teachers come on there and say that we are little gods and, you know, that we can create just like he did if we, you know, say the right words and think the right thoughts. Anyone who criticizes that, Paul Crouch one day just blew a gasket, went off the deep end or something and started screaming. He says, get out of my face. If you want to criticize Dad Hagen or Copeland, you just get out of my face. And he's screaming in the camera, and I caught that for everybody to see the kind of reaction that comes if you question anything. And I get a lot of hate mail from people, and not so much from the video, because like I said, the video shuts their mouth. The articles that I write, they get mad at me over because they don't believe I'm rightly representing anybody, but because it's too hard to believe sometimes. And that's why, like I said, this video, they can't argue with it. You know, you can't even say, oh, well, you're taking them out of context, because the things that they say are not good in any context. You know, we have a clip in there of Benny Hinn saying he wished God would give him a Holy Ghost machine gun and he could blow us all away. And then he claims to be to have the rod of Elijah on him, that he received from Elijah in a vision. And here he disrespects the Holy Spirit in that way. His wife, Suzanne, one time carried on in saying that, you know, that we all need a Holy Ghost enema right up our rear end, is how she said it, quote unquote, because I wouldn't talk that way. But she didn't see any problem with talking that way. And here they bring these evil spirits upon themselves. There are several testimonies of Benny Hinn talking about how he's tried to get some invisible hands off of his wife's throat that are choking her in the middle of the night and such things, some of the horrible things. And then he says his own children are, you know, when he gets the anointing on him, his own children are terrified of him. So these things are, you know, there really is an unclean spirit working all these things together. And again, I believe that these manifestations of this unclean spirit are preparing people to accept the lying signs of wonders that the Antichrist will astound everyone with.
And, of course, I think the important thing is that everybody's looking to experience God. You don't necessarily experience Him. Yes, you can have a religious experience, but it is not going to be one of these things that are manifested in these strange and mysterious ways, because many times these are manifestations of things coming from the other side. You've got to be careful what you ask for, because sometimes you'll get it. And these people who want to open their minds up, you know, for something supernatural to happen to them, because they think that's going to bring them closer to God, well, they may have a supernatural experience, but it won't be of our Lord. Well, my telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Janet calling in from Westminster, California. Hi, Janet. How are you doing?
Hi, fine.
Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I had a comment, Jackie. Recently, TBN is advertising again about the Kansas City Prophets. It seems like they laid low for a while, but now they're popping up again on TBN. And it just seems to me like some of these so-called prophets receiving extra-biblical revelation are actually competing against each other with different information. Can you comment?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting, because I noticed that a couple of the ones that are doing this call on 777 that they're going to be on with Mike Bickle tomorrow night on TBN, and he is a former Kansas City prophet. And now, the Kansas City prophets were the guys from the 1980s who ended up coming under the so-called covering of the late John Wimber, who was, you know, the head of the Vineyard movement. And again, even with Wimber, he had to rebuke them, and he had to rebuke John Arnott in Toronto, and he in Toronto even had to pull out of the Vineyard denomination because of Wimber telling him that they would have to get control over some of this stuff because it was just getting out of hand, and they wouldn't hear of it, so they just distanced themselves from Wimber. But these Kansas City prophets, a lot of the ones are on the board of the Call. The Call is the name of this organization that's going to be having these people come together in Nashville. And so, you know, it's really amazing because they're all asking for the Azusa Street. They want another Azusa Street, and yet one of the other false prophets, Tim Clement, who is TBN's own personal prophet, he prophesied as saying, you know, as speaking first person as God, saying that, no, you guys can't, no one better call this anything you're looking for Azusa Street, because I say we're not going to look in the past, we're going to create the future. And so they kind of contradict one another. But, you know, the Kansas City prophets, and one of those so-called prophets that they heard from about the 777, the Call in Nashville, was a guy by the name of Bob Jones, who back when, during the height of the Kansas City prophets, he would use his so-called prophetic office to tell women to disrobe in front of him. And so he was totally scandalized. And so, you know, they just figured they could now highlight him again a decade or two later, and nobody would remember just, you know, what a scandal all of them were under. They laid low for a while, and now all of a sudden, with the Call, you know, they're trying to come back out of the closet, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that people aren't even paying attention to the message that these prophets are giving. I mean, they seem to have their head in the clouds, and they're so hungry for experiences, no matter what it is, that they just don't even pay attention to the messages that are being given.
No, and the messages are almost always, you know, how they're going to be something great. And if you join with us, you'll be something great, of course, under them, because they seem to have a hierarchy. You know, they're at the top. They are the apostles and prophets who are the cornerstone of everything. And so everybody's going to have to, you know, listen to them. They're going to be the power brokers in this whole thing. Well, you know, whatever this, what they call the new breed is going to be. Christians, you know, at the end times are going to be some sort of new breed where they're going to be, you know, one of the way they put it is that God has handed down the scepter to them. I guess they had to say that to one-up Benny Hinn, because Benny Hinn was handed the rod from Elijah. Now these guys are saying that God himself is giving, you know, his scepter to them. So they're going to rule the kingdom without the king.
Exactly. That's what Kingdom Now is all about.
Yeah, they want the kingdom now. They don't believe that Jesus' kingdom is to come. You know, they believe that they are, you know, the kingdom is, you know, run by them, and they're going to be, you know, all the king's men that will be taking over everything, and they're getting very political. You see, a lot. They're saying that they're praying for the nation on 777, but basically, you know, that God will put His man in the place on the throne in the Washington D.C. as if the United States is the kingdom of God itself or something, or the promised land, and you know, and they're the Israelites. They really tend to have this Old Testament sort of view of theocracy that they're trying to modernize or something.
Well, of course, there is this belief that man is going to bring the kingdom of God to earth, and I don't believe man's ever going to bring the kingdom of God to earth, but only God can do that. And of course, people come up and say they're a prophet, but they're pointing to themselves and their experience and their message rather than to God. And, you know, if somebody is glorifying themselves and telling you how great they are, and not how great God is, then I think you really want to take a serious look at them as a prophet. And I hear an awful lot of people who tell me they're prophets, but I really don't believe it.
Have any of them ever come up to you and say they had a word of God for you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. God is communicating with me. If you anything else you want to say, Janet, before we let you go?
No, I was just going to say that it seems to me that they are really committing the sin of Simon the magician.
I think you're absolutely right,
Sam. Yes, they just really, and what you said about drawing attention to themselves, certainly that's what they're looking for. They're trying to put the spotlight on themselves, but what's really amazing is that the people that are listening to them are not comparing it to Scripture at all.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much for calling. And have you called before?
No, I have not.
I didn't think you had. It sounded like a new voice. Anyway, well, we're glad to have you, and you feel free to call anytime. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go to George, who's calling from New York. Where are you calling from in New York, George?
From Schoharie, New York.
Where is that now?
Oh, that's about 30 miles from Albany, the capital.
All right, fine. Of course, you're getting the signal out of the big station there in Albany.
Yeah, WJIV.
Right. Well, did you have a question or comment?
I'd like to make a comment. First, I've enjoyed your show, Dr. Stan, and learned quite a bit. And this subject that your guest has is quite interesting. In regards to the prophets, I think Israel had the same problem as we're having today, and you could read about it in the prophet Ezekiel, and that's in the 12th and 13th chapter. It tells all about their problem and how God was against the prophets that were prophesying against, they weren't prophesying his word at all.
You know, I think that's really the beauty of the New Testament, the Old Testament. It's all written there, and if we can learn from that, we won't be making the same mistakes. But, you know, it's like deja vu all over again, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I know that even in the end time, even before the millennium, there's still going to be these so-called prophets in the land. I was just reading in Zechariah 13, verse 2, is referring to the millennial rule of Christ, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." So this is a prophecy at the end times, where he's at the end of the end times, where the prophets and the unclean spirits, he doesn't say false prophets there, but he puts prophets and unclean spirits in the same phrase.
Yes, yes.
And so these end so-called prophets at these end times, who are all speaking, they contradict each other, and they say God's doing this great thing, this great thing, this great thing, and yet no great thing happens. And so they're getting really desperate. And when they keep saying that these things are going to happen and they don't, and they keep saying, oh, this latest, greatest move is going to happen, they have to do anything they can to conjure it up and make it happen so that they don't get egg on their face.
Right.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go, George, because I want Jackie to tell our listeners how they can get her DVD and what her website is. But thank you so much for... Go ahead.
Well, I have a couple of websites. Actually, the one that's probably the best place to get the tape is at cultlink.com, which is cultlink.com. And it doesn't mean that we're a link to a cult, but that's the website that I share with my husband, where we have a lot of information on cults on that site. And so, but we also show Problems with Aberrant Christianity. But you can just go there and write on the homepage. You'll see the Great Apostasy tape, and it has a link, and you can use PayPal, or through PayPal you could, you know, use your credit card to buy it. And I'm not even sure what he's charging for it. I think it's $15 for a VHS copy of it and $20 for the DVD.
All right, fine. Well, one more time, what's the website?
It's www.cultlink, that's C-U-L-T-L-I-N-K, com.
All right, hang on there. We're going to be back in just a minute. George, if you're still there, well, I will talk to you right after this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, George, you have something else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Yes. I think that if you were to read the 24th chapter of Matthew, Christ himself tells a lot about what's going to happen in the end times, and he warns us about false prophets, that we shouldn't listen to them. And I think that's probably a very good thing to remember. If you read the whole chapter, it gives you kind of an idea of what will happen in the end times. And I think, Dr. Stan, and your guest, that Christianity, if you were to look at it from a historical view, that the Christianity we have today is actually paganized Christianity.
I think, unfortunately,
because,
you're right.
It does not teach the same doctrine as Jesus taught as when we read the Scripture.
Well, that's why we need to get back to the Scriptures, and that has to be the sole source of our revelation, not what somebody says, or what Dr. Stan says, or what Jackie says, but what does the Scripture say? That has to be the foundation of our faith.
Fortunately, you're so right, Dr. Stan. That's so right.
Fortunately, I'm not a prophet. I never would make that statement at all. I'm just a fellow who's trying to point people to the truth, and you'll find it within, of course, the pages of the Holy Scripture.
That's right.
Thanks very much, George. Appreciate your calling.
Yeah, thank you so much.
God bless. Yeah. Okay,
bye,
fine. And I think that George is absolutely right. I mean, we do have a paganized form of Christianity. Certainly there's some ministers out there trying to do a good job. Mm-hmm. But there's so many of them looking for, you know, a gimmick, you know, so that their church can be bigger than the one down the block.
And of course, the prosperity gospel, these men are all trying to get themselves rich. In fact, many of them have gotten rich by, you know, falsifying, making themselves look like they're something great, and everybody wants to give their money to that person.
Amen to that. And, of course, the thing is that, you know, you do not market Christianity. And, of course, one of the things, if you're going to be a minister, you're going to make tremendous sacrifices here. You're not going to make a lot of money here, but the retirement benefits are wonderful, as
well,
one of my friends said.
There are treasures in heaven where the moth won't eat it.
Amen to that, of course. That's really what I was referring to. Well, Jackie, it's really a pleasure to have you, and give my best to your husband. I do want to get him back again. I had a fascinating, very, very good time when we were together before.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Okay, man, you too. Bye-bye. And that was Jackie Elnor. I hope you enjoyed. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and that was Jackie Elnor, and I hope you enjoyed our program. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have the TPD Diaprax put together by our good friend Bob Klink, talking about what's happening within the church. And the church is under attack today. And wouldn't you expect that this would be where the devil would be working? Of course, you know. Of course he's going to attack the church. And he's doing such a great job of it. We do hope many of you want to, if you haven't already seen my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness or read the book, you'll get that. We hope that you'll get my new talk, Forbidden Secret. Because this will help you to put things into their proper perspective. We have certainly the wonderful, professionally done things by Chris Pinto. One of them, of course, is entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. The most recent one, Riddles in Stone. What in heaven's name are we doing fighting over in the Middle East? And, of course, I will tell you that we are fighting there for reasons that most people have no idea. We're not there fighting primarily for Israel. We're not there fighting primarily for oil. We're fighting there as a prelude, in my estimation, to World War III and a war against the Islamic world that is going to destroy our nation as we know it. And only God's intervention has any hope at all of of changing this, and it's going to have to be, well, it's going to have to be God's intervention, not my intervention or your intervention. If we hope to change America, it's going to have to be one person at a time, starting with you and me. It's a line that my friend Chuck Christmeyer uses, but I think it's really so very, very true. Well, of course, if you'd like to get the things we mentioned, the 4 tapes out on the church growth movement, the 4 tapes out on the apostate church, the DVD, Diaprax, and then my talk on the forbidden secret and the Brotherhood of Darkness, certainly the secret mysteries of America's beginnings, riddles in stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital. And once you understand that, you understand the secret destiny of America as it was laid out over 200 years ago, and why, of course, this was so important. Certainly, if you have not yet seen, they sold their souls for rock and roll by our good friend Pastor Joe Schimmel. Let me suggest that's an excellent source of information, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our ministry. If you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, if you'd like to simply join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope that you go to our website, and of course you can listen to our programs there on the internet 3 hours a day, and there's 2 other program internet programs, GCNalive.com and the American News Net. And of course you can listen to 5 hours a day if you want to. You can listen 9 hours a day on Global Star. And once you go to www.globalstar, and then you go to Channel 4, of course, you're going to be listening to a lot of repeat programming. But Joyce Riley will be there, Pastor Chuck Christmeyer. And that's the feed that goes up to the satellite, Telstar 5, where you get the same information if you don't have access to a computer. There's so much information we'd like to relay to you. But there's a common denominator behind it. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield, and most people don't even know that battle is going on, and many of them, I'm afraid, are looking for that mystical experience that will draw them close to God. And unfortunately, there is mystical experiences. Of course, it will change their attitude, but they're not coming from the God we worship. They're coming from the other dimension. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.